Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Before we begin, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a people. We're thankful for this place you've given us to assemble. We're thankful that you've brought each one of us here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would bless us with your presence. Lord, for a little while, would you set aside the thoughts and cares of this world? And let us see Christ. Let us see more of our Savior. Calls us to rest in Him. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings and pray your continued blessings upon us. Lord, for those who are sick, time of trouble, Lord, that you would comfort and encourage your people. Those who are away from us, Lord, we pray you bless them with safe travels and return them home safely to us, Lord. We pray especially for Frank and Janet, Lord, that you give them a safe return to us. Lord, we pray for our young people. Lord, we pray your mercies upon them, Lord, that you protect and keep them in this world. Lord, that above all things you would teach them. Lord, that you would reveal unto them the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in his name we pray and give thee thanks. First Corinthians 15, we'll begin reading in verse 1. The title is The Gospel. Here we read of the gospel. And we read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. It's the gospel which I preached unto you. It's the gospel which also you've received. It's the gospel wherein you stand. Now this is not another gospel. This is not a gospel after man. Paul says this, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And here in our text, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. In the book of Mark, we read, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Acts, it's the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said this, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. In Ephesians, Paul said this, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It's the gospel of peace. We read, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now back in our text, Paul says this. He said, it's the gospel that you receive. You receive. Like you would receive, you receive a gift. It's not something, a gift's not something you earn. A gift's something that's given, and it's given in love. It's the gospel that you receive. And this message, it's a message to be received. It's to be welcomed. It's to be embraced. We love this message. We love this gospel. It's essential that we hear this gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, but hearing by the word of God. He said, it's the gospel wherein you stand. This gospel, we rest in it. He said, it's the gospel, and we rest in it, but listen, it's a gospel worth standing for. Remember what David said? David said, is there not a cause? This gospel, we stand for this gospel. Now let's read on here. Look at verse 2 of our text. He says, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory, if you hold fast what I've preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This gospel that we must hear, this gospel in which we stand, it's the gospel by which we're saved. Believers are saved. We read earlier from the scriptures, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Look at verse 3 of our text. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul is merely repeating what he had received from another. This isn't something new. This gospel is new the first time we hear it, but it's nothing new. This same gospel, it's the gospel that's revealed throughout the scriptures. I have no desire to tell you anything new this morning. We want to hear the same old story, don't we? We want to hear it. It's not an attempt to be original. Paul said it's a message I received. It's a message he received of the Lord. And it concerns this. Look at verse 3 in our text. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It concerns how Christ died. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. How did Christ die? Look beginning here in verse 26 of Matthew 27. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I think sometimes we read these scriptures and we read through them kind of quickly. This word scourged, it alone, they took a whip, what looked like a whip, and on the end of that whip were some pieces of bone and sometimes metal, maybe glass, and they would use that like a, from what I understand, like a whip. And they would rake that over the back of these that were about to be crucified. And it would tear out great, great chunks of flesh out of whoever was being scourged. And they say, I read this, some of the old writers say that there were men who didn't even survive being scourged. That alone was enough to kill a man. And yet our Lord endured that. How Christ died. What a brutal for an innocent man, right? And look, so he was scourged. He scourged Jesus and he delivered him to be crucified. And then if that wasn't enough, look here in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him. They humiliated him. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they made up a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him, not to worship him, but to mock him. They mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed They smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And they came out and found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. They parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that hast destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." They questioned who he was. And likewise also the chief priest. All that were present that day, they mocked him with the scribes and the elders, and they said this: "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "He calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. How did Christ die? How did Christ die? Could there be a more brutal death? Could a man suffer any more punishment, pain, and suffering, humility? But to truly know how the Lord Jesus Christ died, we must be taught the truth about who God is, about who Almighty God is. All things begin with God. We, back there in Genesis, what's the first thing we read? In the beginning, God. And this gospel, it's his gospel. Paul said that. He said that, writing to the Romans, he said that, "I'm called to be an apostle, to speak the gospel of God." Gospel of Almighty God. And listen, not the God of man's imagination. Not this weak, impotent God that men speak of in our time and have for all time. Huh? Not the God that wants to do something, but he's unable to without man's consent. Not the God that men make up cheesy little bumper stickers and put on the back of cars. The God of the Bible, God who is absolutely holy. Listen, remember when Moses. When God spoke to Moses there at the burning bush, he said, "Moses," he said, "take your shoes off. Put your shoes off your feet, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground." Standing in the presence of Almighty God who is holy, huh? Absolutely holy. Turn to Isaiah. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, look beginning with verse 1. Here we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, which one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. A thrice holy God. The scriptures declare that the God of the Bible is sovereign. He's holy, and he is sovereign. Sovereign in all things. In Psalm 135, 6, we read, whatsoever the Lord pleased to do, that did he. He doesn't have to ask man for anything. He's almighty. Why would he that created all things be subject to those? He's not. Huh? He's almighty God. What he pleased to do in heaven, in earth, in the sea, in deep places, in all things, that did he. That did he. He's sovereign. He's sovereign in creation. In creation, he said, we've been looking at that. He said, let there be. And there was. Whatever he determined to do, that's what took place. In providence, he's sovereign in providence. Nebuchadnezzar said at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar said this. He said, I lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nothing. Huh? And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is sovereign. And listen, he's sovereign in creation. He declared unto Moses, he said, I'll be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. Our Lord said this, he said, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We must know, it must be revealed unto us who Almighty God is. Huh? We must know something about who and what man is. Huh? In the light of the truth of God's word. Listen, in the eyes of man, among each other, listen, I'm sure we look all right to each other. Though we tend to find fault with one another. We, for the most part, we get along. Huh? We're okay by our own standards. I was thinking about this. I suppose maggots probably feel the same way when they look upon each other, right? When we look at them, they all look alike, right? But they're still just maggots. In the eyes of a holy God, the scriptures say man is desperately wicked. Look at Romans. Turn to Romans 3. These are familiar passages of Scripture, but let's look at them in God's Word. Romans 3, look beginning with verse 9. Here we read, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Job said this of himself. He said, I'm vile. I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. In the sight of God, we are guilty sinners without excuse. All the way back there in the garden, God commanded Adam, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but listen, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know what happened, right? Adam disobeyed God. Adam took of that fruit and sinned against Almighty God. We've all, in the same manner, we've all sinned. We're all guilty of the same sin. The gospel, it declares the truth about God who's holy and sovereign. The truth about man, dead in trespasses and sin. It declares the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who identified with his people. He experienced hunger, thirst. He grew tired. There on that ship on the Red Sea, he fell asleep on that pillow. He wept. In the garden, he prayed to his Father. He said, if you will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He was tempted in all points, just like his people. He's sinless. Sinless. He's the Son of Man. The people said this. They said, Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, whose mother and father we know? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And listen, he is God. The scriptures declare that Jesus Christ is God. He's Almighty God in human flesh. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. He's Almighty God in human flesh. He's the Christ. He's the Redeemer. He's our righteousness. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He's Jehovah. He's my Savior. That's what the Scriptures reveal him as. Who is Jesus Christ? He's our sin offering. Back in our text, we read in verse 3, Paul says, I delivered unto you that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. He died in the room instead of his people. The gospel declares that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The wages of sin. Sin requires death. The wages of sin is death. Thank God the gospel is for sinners. Do you have any problem being identified as a sinner? I hope not, because that's who Christ came to save. Turn with me to 1 Peter. First Peter 2. Again, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, we read that, didn't it? They reviled him, but when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, by his stripes, you were healed. He's despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah said, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. The grief and the grief and the sorrow he bore, it was not his own. It was that of his people. Right? It was ours. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He did no sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. Yet God's wrath was poured out upon him. That which he suffered of man, gosh, that would have been, I can't even imagine that. But the Father slew him on the cross for the sins of how wicked and how horrible sin must be. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He that knew no sin made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And listen to this. With his stripes, we are healed. We read of substitution. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Again, not for any of his own, but for the transgression of his people. Our sin, our rebellion against God. There on the cross, he stood as our substitute. Before the law and justice of Almighty God. Bearing our iniquities, bearing our sin. And he took upon himself that cup of suffering. He alone. And listen, full satisfaction was made. We read this, by his stripes we're healed. The sin debt paid in full. And God's justice satisfied. How Christ died for our sins. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's my life. Listen, he is life. Life eternal. In Adam we die. In Christ we're made alive. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. We read this. He's my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, and redemption. Paul sums it up best when he said this. Christ is, he's all. Lord Jesus Christ is all. Now back to our text. Back to our text. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, in which no man had laid. God rolled away that stone and he arose from the grave. Victorious. Listen to a few scriptures. Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In Romans chapter 8, turn with me quickly. Romans 8. Verse 33. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. His resurrection points to the accomplishment of his death. His acceptance. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul declares, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. We're become false witnesses, and you're yet in your sins. But listen, he goes on to say this, but Christ is risen. He is victorious. He died for our sins. He's buried and risen, and that sin debt is paid in full. And he presents us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. In the sight of a holy God who sees and knows all things. Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, when he had alone, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, seated at the right hand of Almighty God. Seated. The work finished. Nothing left. My friends, when our Savior, when the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work, a work that we could not do, the best we can offer is filthy rags. He came down from heaven, robed in human flesh. He suffered and died in the place of his sheep, in the place of his people. And as the sinner's substitute, he made full satisfaction to God's wrath and judgment. He died, was buried, and is now risen. We read in the book of Hebrews, he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Huh? Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. It's the gospel you received. It's the gospel wherein you stand. It's the gospel which you're saved. It's the gospel concerning how Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. And when he suffered the wrath of God, when he finished the work, he declared, it's finished. He said that. I've said that before. I've said things are finished before, and there was a lot left to be done. When the Lord Jesus Christ declares it's finished, rest assured that work is complete. Salvation complete. The redemption price paid in full. And listen, he's not waiting for a down payment. He's not waiting for man to provide a partial anything. The debt is paid in full. Last week, we were in Rocky Mount preaching for Brother Paul. And we got down there Saturday night. And Paul had told me ahead of time. He said, come down Saturday. He said, we'll have a hotel room waiting on you. Told us where to go and all that. So we got there early and went to check in and went up and Paul said, he said, just give him your name. That's all you got to do is just give him your name. It'll be under your name. So I went up and I said, I've got a reservation for Eric Floyd. And the guy said, okay. He said, let me see here. And he looked through some stuff and he's like, oh yeah, we got a room for you. He said, gave me the room number and he said, here's some cards. But then he stopped and he said, I need one thing. He said, I need the last four digits of your credit card. Well, that was a problem. Because last week, our credit card got hacked. And not only could I not give him the last four of my digits of my credit card, I couldn't even give him my credit card because they'd already said tear it up. And I don't know if he saw a look on my face or what, but he said, he looked back down in his file and he pulled out a paper. And he looked at it and he said, Mahan. Mahan. He said, you know, we went up and checked in our room, and not one time during the night did I think, will they come up here and will they throw us out? The debt is paid completely by another. Does that sound familiar? Huh? Salvation. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end, by the free and sovereign grace of Almighty God. is in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that must be received. That's the gospel that we believe. It's the gospel in which we stand. That's the only gospel that saves. It's all of you. God be pleased to bless you.